Our defender, our shield, our Savior, in the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you, if you will, to turn to our text for this evening, reading from Malachi chapter 3. Sometimes you don't turn to it. Tonight I'd especially like you to, if you will, in your Bibles, because we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 2 and then the first few verses of Malachi chapter 3 that we haven't heard yet this evening. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. I love this image, the image of the floodgate opened wide. I don't know that you can see it especially well, but in the upper portion of the image, there is a huge reservoir of some sort. And these floodgates are opened wide open so that the water comes spilling out, perhaps millions of gallons a second or certainly per minute, to give blessings downstream wherever those waters may go. Perhaps they're turning turbines and creating power also, another blessing. What God tells us in our text for this evening is that as we give ourselves to Him, because He first gave Himself for us, He opens the floodgate of blessings. So many blessings that we cannot contain them all. As Luther talked about the blessings that God gives, He gives weather, good weather. He gives godly spouses and good leaders, house and home and shoes and clothing, meat and drink, all that we need to support our body and life. These are just some of the blessings God gives in the physical realm. And then spiritually, the greatest of all blessings is the gift of eternal life. The gift of our forgiveness in Christ Jesus. What blessings He gives us to indeed be a blessing to those who are about us. If you were with us last week in worship, we reminded that we were coming close to the end of the church year, and Pastor mentioned that at the beginning of the service. This is the last weekend of the church year. And we mentioned last week that God shows us through the signs and wonders, God shows us in the visible creation that as it comes close to the end of time, those signs prove His faithfulness. They prove that He knows the future. They prove that He's coming again to rescue us and take us safely back to Himself. God said there would be signs around Jerusalem in the Middle East. Here's the Kidron Valley looking into the old city of Jerusalem. And you see all these stones down at the bottom of the picture? Those are in fact tombstones. Many people buried outside of Jerusalem in the hopes that they will be some of those who will first be there when the Messiah returns again. God says there will be signs in the Middle East, but not there alone. He said in the very heavens themselves, things will be out of order. Things will be different than they have from the beginning of creation. He tells us that not only in the signs above, but also on the earth beneath. Pestilence and earthquakes and famines, so many things taking place that show the ripping and the tearing of what God has put into place, showing that something new is to come, the new heaven and the new earth. In our text for tonight, God says, you will see these signs, and starting in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, God says, you exhaust me. You weary me. And Malachi says, well, how? And the people say, how have we wearied you, God? You have wearied me, God says, because you don't trust that I know what I'm doing. You believe somehow, you people, that when evildoers seem to succeed, you believe, God says, that I don't know what I'm doing. And that I don't make a distinction between those who are godly and those who are evil, and it wearies me. I am the sovereign Lord. I do know, and the day will come when that division will be seen to you too. In the end time, I will divide the righteous from the unrighteous. Those who are believers, we know those who believe in Jesus and trust in Him. They will be divided from those who go their own way and do their own thing, those who sin, those who believe that God doesn't know what in the world, in all the world, what He's doing. God says, I will nonetheless send my messengers ahead of me. And that messenger in the Old Testament surely was Moses, and then again Elijah. And in the New Testament, that messenger was John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. And finally, God says, I will not stop with just sending those messengers. God says, I will come myself, and I will be among you. I will be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and no one will stand in my presence. The messenger comes. That messenger is Jesus. He is the messenger bringing the message of good news, and Jesus is the message Himself, the one who is our substitute, the one who dies in our place, the one who gives us forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. That's the messenger who comes. And with the messenger, I will bring my judgment. No one will be able to stand before Him, Malachi says, because He will be like the refiner's fire. Can you see that consuming fire as the metal is molded, as the metal is melted to a liquid state, and how that consuming fire consumes the dross, consumes the bad, leaving the good, consuming the impure, leaving only the pure? Malachi gives this the example of the one who refines silver or gold. Can you see the silver being poured in its molten form into a form where it can be harvested or saved or kept and the dross wiped away? God says, I know what I'm doing, though it may not seem like it in the time in which you live. Both those in Jesus' time, those before Jesus' time, in Malachi's time, and in our time too. Don't we often weary God? Haven't you wearied God? I know sometimes I do. Wondering, God, do you really know what's going on? God, why do you allow this? Why is it that it seems those who are evil, those who stand against you, have success? Why are they blessed? God says, I know what I'm doing. And the time will come while I will refine, while I will destroy that which is wicked and save that which is pure. In our text, He says, I will come as a judge. And you see, there are six or seven things listed there in Malachi. I will judge those who are sorcerers. Well, what's a sorcerer? We would say today, it's anyone who seeks revelation other than and beyond from God Himself. Looking to the devil, looking to the world, looking to signs of some sort, which are not godly signs, which are not the signs that come from His Word. I will judge them, God says. I will also judge the adulterers, those who are unfaithful to their marriage partners, those who defile what God calls holy in holy matrimony. I will judge, He says, thirdly, those who are the perjurers, those who are liars. I will judge those who oppress the widows and the orphans, that is, those who are helpless. If you are not kind and thoughtful, if instead you use your power against those who cannot defend themselves, I will judge you, God says. I will judge also those who are unkind, unhospitable to foreigners, those who come among you, those too who need help, who rely on goodness and generosity. And if you don't do those things, I will judge you. I will judge, He says finally, those who stand against me, those who are unbelievers, those who don't hold the faith. God says, I will judge. And in our text, it says that I am the same. I never change. I don't know if you know this name, but this is called a trefoil. And a trefoil is a symbol of the Trinity, of course. You see the complete circles, those circles that have no beginning or end, each representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the trefoil showing God's divinity, three in one, and one in three. And what he says basically here is that I am the same from before and now and always. And what I am merciful. Because you see, if I wasn't merciful, I would have already judged. I would have already destroyed all people because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But my judgment, he says, is focused. My judgment is narrowed to one person, one place, and one time for the history of the world, and that's focused on Jesus, his death in our place, his substitution for you and me. When we weary God by not thinking he knows what he's doing, when we weary God by any of these six or seven ways he says he will judge, when we weary him, he looks to Jesus. And when we trust in Jesus, we know that he took our punishment so that we might have his forgiveness. God says, you weary me because you rob me. And they say, well, how do we rob you, God? Here's an image of a robber coming to an unexpected home. God says, you rob me when you don't bring your tithes and offerings to me. When you act as though what you have belongs only to you and it comes only from your wisdom and only from your hard work, when you don't realize I give it to you, then you rob me. That's why here at Holy Cross, we've been involved in the capital campaign to reach the lost and strengthen the saved. That's why tonight, you've brought your tithes and offerings, your commitment to that for the coming year. And in just a few moments, you'll come forward to these receptacles and bring here your offerings, your tithes, your gifts over and above. And in this way, we don't rob God, but we give to him our worship and praise, our thanksgiving, recognizing that all we have comes from his gracious hand. He gives it to us for a while to use to his glory and for the benefit of those who are around us. Tonight, just tonight, before we began worship, someone came to me and said, Pastor, is it true what we heard last week that there are 800 and some people at Holy Cross who give nothing in a year's time? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes, it is true. Those are those who have offering envelopes and never use them. Now, some of those folks may give in the offering without using their offering envelopes. Some of those are probably members who don't live in the area any longer. Some of them are those who are confirmation age and older, college students who may be away. But many of them are those who choose not to give. And this text speaks to them, and it speaks to us. If we rob God of our offerings and tithes, God says, it is not what I choose for you. It is not what I want for you. It is not who I've called you to be. How else do you rob God? Well, I couldn't help but think of the time that God gives each of us. And if we use our time merely for ourselves and serving ourselves and our own family, and don't give up our time for him and for others around us, that's another way to rob God. How do you rob God? Well, I think when we don't use our talents and abilities, when we don't work for him and in service to others, it's another way to rob God. And God says, I see. I know. And it may appear to you that you don't have to give, that you don't give of your time, that you don't give of your talents, and it doesn't matter. But God says it does matter. I see, and I have something greater for you. In our text, he says, turn from that way of living and truly live. Turn from yourselves and turn to me. He says in our text, there are those who are godly and righteous, and they talk among themselves like we do tonight, to encourage one another, to uphold one another, to support one another in our godly living. And God says, I will listen. I will listen. And when you turn to me, my promise is this, that I will open the floodgate of blessings. Test me, he says, and see if I won't give you more blessings than you possibly can understand and possibly receive. As we give our offerings, as we give our time, as we give our talents and abilities, God will bless. Not because of what we do, but because we, in love for him, for what he's done for us, for Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, by the power of his Spirit, he comes to us and he calls us to live for him. And when he works within us, he says in our text, I will give you the gift of eternal life, and your names will be written on this scroll. They'll be written in the book of life, and you will live for me. Don't doubt it, God says. I know all things, and all things are in my hands and keeping. The last verses of our text, he promises those who are right with God through faith in Christ will be brought safely to himself forever in heaven. And then there are those who you think have all they want and all they need and are living for themselves and getting away with it. But God says, I will make that distinction. I am the refiner who comes, some to eternal life and some to eternal death and separation from me. We come tonight confident of his presence, confident of God's love and mercy and grace for us in Christ Jesus, and confident that because he lives in us through faith, then we live for him now and forevermore. We receive his body and blood through the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith for this day and in all the days to come. And rest assured, his blessings are more than you can possibly receive and possibly comprehend. They are for you in Christ Jesus. Repent. Turn from those things that are ungodly and unrighteous, and he will receive you. He does in Christ Jesus. May this be our confidence, our hope, our joy, and our lives together as we seek to serve him and receive the blessings he so wonderfully gives. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.